So again, verse 4. Varam devam moksham na moksha vadim va na chanyam vrine ham vadeshadapiha idam deva punata gopala balam sadame manasya virastam kimanyai. O Deva, this Lord Damodadev, I do not request even from you the Lord of benedictions, the boon of liberation, nor the highest liberation, nor anything else. Rather, O Nath, may this form of yours, manifested here as the young boy Gopal, always remain visible in my mind. What is the value of any other benediction? This is the general format in which Sanskrit prayers are designed. First there is a glorification and then a request. Having thus praised the Lord, says Sanatana Goswami, by describing his super excellence, Satyavrata Muni requests a boon in the two verses beginning as a boon, varam, and O Deva. Deva means Hey, Supremely Effulgent One, or Hey, you who are engaged in wonderful sweet sports. From you, although you are the Lord of benedictions, able to bestow every boon here in Vrindavan, I do not request liberation, the fourth goal of human life, nor the highest form of liberation, moksha vadim, that is residence within the supreme realm, the world of Vaikuntha, the nature of which is characterized by intense happiness, nor do I want anything else such as the various modes of bhakti beginning with hearing about the Lord. So he does not want ordinary liberation, but also not even a special highest form of liberation, moksha vadim, which is residence in Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha is described as that abode. Vaikuntha is made of concentrated ecstasy and pure consciousness. Even for liberated souls, it is difficult to attain. But the Lord's devotees, who are free from selfish desires, reach it at once. And then, the pure devotees living in Vaikuntha enjoy forever in various ways the happiness of directly serving Sri Krishna's lotus feet. In comparison, the nectar of liberation appears condemned. So this is the heart, that service of the Lord is in Vaikuntha is special liberation. Satyavrata Muni doesn't want that, nor does he even want the various modes of bhakti beginning with hearing about the Lord. The word varam may be used adjectively, indicating that each of the aforementioned boons are desirable, Or it may give the following sense. I do not request these things, even though they are things that may be requested by others. Or it may be used adverbially to give the following sense. I do not request any of these as boons. The word here may also be connected with the latter part of the stanza. Here the progressive superiority of each of the three items, beginning with liberation, over the preceding item is understood. In this regard, the superiority of the world of Vaikuntha is factually shown in this part of Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. With pure consciousness and concentrated bliss, and everyone serves Krishna. But then there is something even higher than Vaikuntha. These are the modes of bhakti beginning with hearing about the Lord. Over the world of Vaikuntha is seen from statements such as the following from Srimad Bhagavatam. Kamang bhavasva vrijine niyayeshuna stat. We wish that because of our offenses we may take our birth in hell. This statement is spoken by the four Kumaras to Vishnu when, having been denied entrance to Vaikuntha by the gatekeepers, Jai and Vijay, they inappropriately cursed them. For reference, we will hear the entire verse along with a translation. And so, we will now hear that higher than staying in Vaikuntha is the different modes of bhakti. We wish, say the four Kumaras, that because of our offenses we may take our birth in hell. So long as our minds may, like bees, come to rest on your feet, so long as our words, like Tulasi, may achieve beauty in connection with your feet, and so long as the holes of our ears may be filled with your host of virtues. Interesting. So they came to the gates of Vaikuntha. They were not allowed entrance there. But they said, okay, let's go to hell then. But our minds should, like bees, come to rest at your lotus feet. Our words, like Tulasi, may achieve the beauty in connection with your feet, and so long as the holes of our ears may be filled with your host of virtues. Beautiful. So they say, higher than staying in Vaikuntha is actually to engage the body, it means the mind, words, and the holes of the ears in Krishna's service. But Satyavrata Muni says, even this I do not wish. So he doesn't want liberation, he doesn't want staying in Vaikuntha, and he does not even want this great boon, which is apparently even more ecstatic, that is full devotional service. Then what do you request? Responding to this question, Satyavrata Muni says, Hey Lord, may this form of yours, which I have described, the form of the young cowherd boy, Gopala Balam, manifested here in the dark. This gets into something very wonderful. He wants that this form of the young cowherd boy of Vrindavan always remains visible in my mind. Although this form is already present within the mind as the inner controller and so on, may it become manifest by a full revelation of the beauty, and such its every limb as if directly in front of my eyes. So he says, you are already in my mind, but you are not, you are there as a supreme controller, as Paramatma, as Ishvara, but I want that your full glory becomes manifested. Not just the Paramatma's glory. I want that this is always present in my mind. Well, the Lord may say, liberation and the rest are also extremely worthy of being chosen. Request them as well. Therefore he says, what is the value of any other benediction? The meaning is, by other things, such as liberation, my aim is not achieved. The sense is, every perfection is attained simply by attaining this vision on account of its being of the nature of the aggregate of all joy. Likewise, great grief is brought about it if it is not attained, both because of the failure to attain one's desired objects, and especially because of the attainment of something worthless in its place. Therefore, what is the value of any other benediction? Kim Anyai. So, Satyavrata Muni says, I cannot accept any substitute, because this vision of the young cowherd boy is bringing me the supreme joy and life. And if there is another benediction which you give me, then this will overshadow this vision, and I will feel greatly aggrieved. Or else the Lord may say, well, it is true that liberation and the rest should not be requested. However, the supremely desirable opportunity of seeing, speaking with, and otherwise relating to my other forms, such as the beautiful forearm form, should be requested. You know, why don't you want any contact with my beautiful forearm form and speak with this form? But Satyavrata Muni says, what is the value of any other benediction? The sense is, I find extreme delight only in the constant appearance within my mind of this beautiful form of yours, not in anything else. The greatness of inner vision of the Lord is described in the second part of Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita through the exposition given by Sri Pipalayana in Tapo Loka. So here is now the description of Pipalayana. Pipalayana says to Gop Kumar, why do you want to leave this exalted place and go somewhere else, Gop Kumar? And why are you wandering around just to see the Supreme Lord with your eyes? You should concentrate your mind in meditation. Then you will naturally see the Lord everywhere, within and without, as if always before you in person. Lord Vasudev, the Supreme Soul, the embodiment of eternity, knowledge and bliss, reveals himself in a thoroughly purified heart and nowhere else.
then with nothing else going on in the mind, direct vision of Lord Hari with one's eyes takes place in the heart. When the mind is happy, all the senses are automatically happy for the function of the senses. Speech, vision, hearing and so on are included within those of the mind. Without the functions of the mind, the functions of all the senses are useless. For even if one acts, one's deeds will be as if never performed, because the self will be unable to perceive them. If the Lord, out of compassion for his devotees, sometimes reveals himself to their eyes, that vision actually occurs by the power of the mind. One only imagines the eyes to be the seer. Seers, you understand this point, huh? Mm-hmm. We can do things with our senses, but if our mind is not registering what we do, it is as good as if we have not done anything. I think this becomes very obvious when we read something. Our eyes are going over the text. Well, but our mind is not sufficiently concentrated. As a result, at the end, because the mind was not perceiving it, we feel as if we have not even read one word or two words. We feel we have not read anything. So therefore, perception takes place in the mind, says Pipalayana, not in the senses. If the Lord, out of compassion for his devotees, sometimes reveals himself to their eyes, that vision actually occurs by the power of the mind. One only imagines the eyes to be the seers. And even if by the power of his mercy he becomes visible to external eyes, the bliss that arises from seeing him has its natural source in the heart. That bliss later continues in the heart, even after the Lord is no longer visible to the eyes. Thus, the worthy receiver of that bliss is the mind alone. As much as the mind becomes peaceful, to that extent its pleasure grows. No external sense can feel such expanding pleasure. When the Lord expands his special mercy, one sees the Lord within by meditation as if directly with the eyes. This we can understand from what happened to the lotus-born Brahma. Very interesting. Let me see. Is this the end of the quotation? It seems. So, Satyavrata Muni also wants to have the perception in his mind. Thus his words, although in the form of a request, amount to praise, because of his requesting such vision of the Lord is the greatest of all possible benedictions. The same also holds true in the following verses. So this is what we will read tomorrow. But it's very, very, very nice. I wonder what will happen in the purports of Sanatana Goswami. But for now, we can just wonder and
feel ecstatic about Satyavrata Muni's wonderful realization of Krishna's divine form, as this vision is the highest of all visions which he wishes to have in the mind's eye. He wants to have this. There are some references that perceiving directly the form of the Lord in ecstatic trance of Krishna consciousness is the highest goal of the human form of life. And if you please look there, there you will find some pages just like here. Looks the same thing, a plastic folder. It's the new chapters from the new book, Nam Rahasya. Right. Thank you. Yes. There is a very, very, very nice prayer by Bhaktivinoda. His birth is successful, whose good fortune dawns as he has the vision of Lord Krishna just once. When the jiva gives up all delusion of his mind, then only he will see the vision of Krishna blooming within the eyes of his heart. It's interesting, isn't it? The way he sees is, he sees with the eyes of his heart, the eyes of the mind, in other words. One sees Krishna there, fully decorated with garlands of forest flowers, as the most expert connoisseur of all the amorous love spots in Vrindavan. How does Krishna look? Well, his transcendental form is bent in three places, and he plays wonderfully on his flute. He is the reservoir of all relishable mellows, and he is the abode of all virtuous qualities. By such a beautiful form, he is maddening the entire universe. His complexion is like that of a fresh new rain cloud. His head is decorated with a big peacock feather, and the sandalwood tilak on his forehead is most becoming. Krishna wears brilliant yellow-colored garments. He stands with his face decorated with a wide, sweet smile. Beholding him standing gracefully at the base of a kadamba tree, I can see that Krishna's beauty is conquering the luster of an entire mine of sapphires. Now Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes his reaction to this wonderful vision of Lord Krishna standing at the before a kadamba tree in his Tribhanga form. Seeing this, my mind becomes so restless that my feet no longer move. In other words, the connection breaks. Mind is restless, but the feet usually move very much when the mind is very restless. But here, connection has broken it. The mind also is overwhelmed, and I have completely forgotten about my family and home life in this world. Oh, Saki, oh dear girlfriend. In other words, he sees himself now in his constitutional position and addresses a Saki, a girlfriend of his. Seeing that sweet form abounding a nectar, I have fallen unconscious. As a fountain of tears gushing with ecstatic love cascades from my eyes. Oh, what a wonderful crown upon his head. What a wonderful flute he is holding in his hands. What a wonderfully beautiful form. As he stands in his threefold bending posture, the nectar of his lotus feet is overflowing with a tingling sound coming from clusters of anchor bells which are decorating them.
Sada Ashakori Bringarupa Dori Charanaka Malestane Anayase Pae Krishna Guna Gae Arana Bhaji Boana.
Now Bhaktivinoda Thakur was totally in ecstasy. He changes now his body. A total transformation. I accept the form of a honeybee. I always hope for a residence near his lotus feet. And I will get it very easily. Wow. Because I always sing the glories of this Krishna, adoring no one else. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that by Nam Sankirtan.
Sri Krishna Gopala Hare Mukunda Govinda He Nanda Kishora Krishna Hashri Yashoda Tanaya Prasida Shri Ballavi Jeevana Radhikesha.
In other words, he describes it is possible by chanting. This is actually describing the vision of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here in Kanainata Shala saw exactly this form which we have just described, which we have just heard. He saw it in the mind's eye, Krishna with his beautiful anchor bells, the ringing, his beautiful devotee rustling in the wind, rustle, rustle, rustle. His lips were just ready to touch the bamboo flute to play. He had the most wonderful and mind of chanting smile on his bimba fruit red lips, but his reaction was different. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's feet couldn't move, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet began to move like anything. He ran after Lord Krishna, trying to find him. Krishna was escaping. It was very nice that we have followed with our meditation on Lord Damodar, the Damodar Ashtakam. We have come to a point where Satyavrata Muni wants to only have this vision, which is quite something if we hear this song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's a very... No other benediction is equal to this. We often hear we should not try to see the Lord, but act in a way that He sees us. This is a very important instruction for those who want to see the form. But this instruction means that we shouldn't artificially try to search him after it in some bush in Vrindavan and so on and so forth. But nevertheless, the highest goal of the human life is to behold this form. We shouldn't do something foolish to see it. What we should do is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings about it in the end of his song. He says, I will achieve this vision very easily because I just glorify the names of the Lord. So in this way, chanting, singing songs.
Right.
It's a very useful process. I was thinking of when Lord Chaitanya left the devotees in Navadvip to go to Neelachal. Actually, he left them in Shantipur. The devotees could not imagine how they could continue to live, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu encouraged them to go home and chant the names of the Lord. And in this way, they would see him very soon. He always said this to everyone, chant and you would see me very soon, because the holy name is non-different from Krishna and also non-different from Gauranga. That's very interesting. Sri Damodaki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Kanaya Lala Ki Jai, Gopi Manandi Hari Hari Om.